A few Sundays ago, Dave asked a couple of questions, and it was we were kind of rowdy that Sunday, I think. So if you missed the questions, they were: do you have a favorite scripture, and have you sought God for a scripture for the upcoming year of 2015? And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about, just address those two questions, and tell you my favorite scripture and why I love it. Do a little short, how-to on annual scriptures, and tell you about some of the annual scriptures that God has used in my life. And at exactly 12:05, Kevin and I are out the door because we have to take my brother to the Amtrak station in Albany. So, so if I fly out, it's not because I don't want to hear what you have to say. I just have to go. So my favorite scripture is one that is often overlooked because the preceding one is so famous. So my favorite scripture is John 3:17. Preceding, of course, is the famous John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him." "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through." So the completion of that phrase, that 3:17, is so important to me. That lack of condemnation is just absolutely essential and foundational to my faith. I wasn't saved until I was in my early 30s, and so not even half my life yet has been lived as a Christian. I haven't reached that 50% mark yet. And that was 30 years of rebellion, of sin, of misery, of depression, of trying desperately to find purpose and meaning and alleviate the misery that comes with living a life that is out of step with God. And I have a lot for which to be condemned in those 30 years. I rejected Jesus outright, consciously, as a child, and lived out of step with his plans and not according to his purpose for those years. I was a people pleaser. Pleasing others did not please God. Drugs, sex, rock and roll didn't help. Fun for a little while, but not, doesn't make you right with God. Getting married. I got married at 21 to a man I loved. That was, we had a wonderful marriage. Well, pretty good marriage. and that helped, but that doesn't make you right with God. There was a time when I wore designer skirt suits and wore 5-inch heels and worked on Madison Avenue in New York and looked really good, but I was not good. Good is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and because I didn't have Jesus, I did not have the Holy Spirit. So I looked good, but I was not good. Taught English in Tokyo for a year, loved it. It was satisfying, but superficial. My heart was still a heart of stone, and even becoming a mother is wonderfully fulfilling. I love even now being a mom and now a grandmother, but it wasn't, and that being a mom does not repair your sin state, and it wasn't until God put it into my mind to seek him that things changed. And when God did put that desire in my mind and my heart, he was so quick and so faithful to reveal himself to me. And that's when, that's when I was satisfied. That's when I found my purpose. And that lack of condemnation for all of those years in the past is so essential. God does not condemn me. God saved me. He, with all that yuck behind me, knowing that God does not condemn me, he doesn't point to my past. He doesn't, condemn me for all of those. I mean, I did some stupid stuff, and he came not to point at those things, but to point at him, to point to the future, to point to salvation. And he came to save me, and I am, in fact, born again. All things are made new through Christ, and I am a new creation. And that scripture helps me to remember I am not a captive of my past. I am God's, and I am a new creation. So God's timing was perfect, as it always is. Even though I regret those 30 years, he used them, and he revealed himself to me at a perfect time. I had a couple of years of really good, solid Bible teaching and women's Bible study. We were living in California at the time. And that prepared me for the next decade or so that was really difficult. My husband then, the father of my two boys, was treated for several years, many of you know this story, for cancer, and then he died just a few months before my 40th birthday. He was 42. So during that period when I was a widow, asking God for annual scriptures was a practice that I looked forward to. I did have that expectation that God was going to speak to me. And so when Dave, and yet I had fallen out of practice. I hadn't done that for a few years now. And so when Dave asked that question, you know, it was a great confirmation. I'd already kind of had it in my heart that this was going to be a year when I would take up that practice again. And when he said that, when he asked that question from up here, I immediately thought of, I think it's Revelation, somewhere in the second chapter when he's speaking to the churches and he says, you know, remember the height from which you've fallen, repent and do the things you did at first. Well, this is one of the things I did at first. And so I'm really delighted to be reminded to go for it and ask God. And again, there's no condemnation for the years I didn't do it. And it's just nice to have those reminders and that encouragement to be closer to God. Isn't that a neat part of body life? You know, there's so many Christians today who are sitting at home and they don't get that because they don't come to church and they don't get that rubbing shoulders with other Christians and get that encouragement. Okay, so why is it important to have annual scriptures or a scriptural theme for the year? Well, it's not the 11th commandment, but we are commanded to hide the word in our heart. We're commanded to study the word. We're commanded to read the word, to talk about it with one another, to meditate upon it, to know it, to live it. So it definitely fits in with that. Any little tool you can grasp that helps you to be in the word is a good thing. It's also a good idea just because God knows us. He knows us. He knows our future. He knows who he is. He knows that we live in this battlefield. And it's his desire that we be equipped, and he equips us through scripture. We certainly have our plans. I know everybody has their plan. What's things you want to have happen in 2015, things you don't want to have happen in 2015. And so we have our hopes and dreams, but God knows what's around the corner. He sees what's around that bend. And he knows what we're going to face, and he definitely wants us to be prepared. I really think that it's God's intention that our hearts always be prepared for whatever it is that he wants us to learn through the circumstances that he allows in our lives. And part of that preparation is through instruction in his word, which is living and active. You know, the word is such a wonderful thing. So how does one go about acquiring that annual scripture? Somebody over here said it's hard to choose, it's hard to winnow it down. And that means you're already in the Word, which is great, because you probably won't find a scripture for 2015 when you are surfing the internet or watching TV or being really, really busy at everything you're doing, even if those things are godly and good things. You've got to make some space for God to speak to you. You definitely will find a word for 2015 in the Word. But you do need to stop and to read and to ask and listen and bring it into focus. I actually had a kind of a funny visual, which may not have translated all, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So when I love birds. Birds are they just speak to me. And so when you go bird watching, you have to still yourself. You have to stop and be motionless and quiet and not make a lot of movement because you scare the birds, right? So if you're still and you're listening for the sound of the birds. You might even hear the wings, or certainly the song. And you see, you know, you're looking in the some trees or a grove or in a field or whatever, and you see some movement, and it catches your eye. And so you look, and maybe you can identify it, and you do a little research on it, and then you get your binoculars up, and you really look at it, and you see all those little feathers and the ring around the eye and all those little details. And scripture is kind of like a little, you know, looking for an annual scripture is looking for a little bird in the woods. You know, you're going to see something is going to jump out at you, and you're going to want to look at it and really learn it. Anyway, so being in the Word is essential. Certainly, God is capable of dropping a scripture reference into your mind, you know, when you're at work, but you have to be in the Word and go look it up and find it. More often, I think, in talking with people who you know, grab those scriptures, in your regular reading, something will just, like, you know, jump off the page and right into your heart. And that's significant. Those scriptures are significant. You might hear a passage, you know, something on the radio or in a Bible study or, you know, something in a devotional, something that pierces through your everyday and gets into your heart. It grabs your attention and makes itself significant. So being in the Word, asking, you know, asking God. Davis has made a reference to that this morning. You know, all those unanswered prayers because we don't ask. You know, so asking for that scripture for the upcoming year, praying for that revelation, for that specific passage that God is going to use in whatever way He chooses. You know, for encouragement or instruction or deepening understanding. Revealing His heart, you know, helping us to trust and that kind of thing. So you're in the Word, you've asked for revelation, and then you have to listen. You know, it's reading scripture. Sometimes I find myself just, you know, like reading it, and my mind is somewhere else. You know, I cannot check my brain at the door when I open this book, and no matter. You know, I really believe that no matter what our intellectual power is, no matter what our education is, no matter what our background is, we can understand the Word of God, because wisdom and understanding come through the Holy Spirit. And you know, that wisdom and understanding given through the Holy Spirit, and if you are a believer, you have received the Holy Spirit. I mean, all you have to do, right, to receive the Holy Spirit is declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that He is King, that He has raised from the dead, and you will be saved, and by being saved, you receive. So understanding, okay, so you're in the Word, you've asked, you're listening with your head and your heart, and let's say you think you've received a scripture. Well, what do you do with it? You know, I think trusting what you get, even though it may not seem to apply, is an important thing. Over the years, I have gotten a couple of scriptures where it's like, what? And then looking back, you know, God used it to prepare me. And we do think, I think, that scripture prepares us, is meant to prepare us for the challenges and the difficulties and the hard times that are coming. But it also prepares us for the joy. You know, wouldn't it be terrible if we missed the joy and the blessing and the wonderful things that God drops into our lives, you know, unbidden? It would be, He just showers us on a daily basis with blessing. And reading scripture sharpens our awareness of who He is, reveals His heart towards us, and reveals His loving nature. And, you know, the better we know Him, the more often we can respond in deep and sincere gratitude for what He's done for us. Again, that no condemnation, but the salvation and all of that goes with that. So let's say you've been in the Word, you've asked for revelation, but you're still unsure. You just haven't received that one, you know, or maybe there's a dozen of them. Well, you know what? It's not a mystical thing. Choose one. You're not going to go wrong with choosing a scripture that you think is going to help you through the year, or that God is going to speak. I guarantee you God's going to speak. There is only benefit in choosing a scripture and meditating on it for 12 months. You know, I mean, that's just a good thing. And so then what do you do with this annual scripture? You know, well, there's that one, you know, and on you go. Well, you know, memorizing it, saying out loud, writing it on 3x5 cards. I hope I have my, yes, here are some of my 3x5 cards from over the years. You know, we are kind of dense and we need repetition. And so meditating on it, thinking deeply about it, what does it actually say? You know, so often we gloss over things and it's not until we get our binoculars out and look, you know, and see the details of what that scripture says. How does it apply? Do I need to dig deeper? Do I need to dig into context? Do I need to get a study Bible out and look and do a little bit of research on what the scripture actually says? Some of the scriptures that God has given me in the past, I'm gonna go kind of into the way past. The first year that I recall having a 3x5 card was the first year that I was a widow. And it was one of those where God dropped an address, you know, a scriptural reference into my head, and I had to go look it up. And it's Malachi 4:2, which is, you know, for those who revere my name, for those who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. So as a new widow, you know what? I desperately needed those words. All, guess what I had to do? Revere his name. That's it. That's all I had to do. God was going to do the rest. And the promise that healing was coming at a time when I was so distressed and so torn apart was really balm to my soul. And so God really used it that year. A couple years, maybe the next year, I think it was the next year, 2000, God gave me Isaiah 43:18-19, which is, you know, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I didn't see that at all. I mean, that question was a real challenge to me because I was in that wasteland and I was in that desert and I didn't see anything new. And yet I trusted this scripture. And so I started to look for the new things. And darned if they weren't there. Go figure. You know, God he is so faithful. This, you know, that scripture made me look. It's like, okay, if God says he's making new ways in my desert and in my wasteland, new things are happening, life is growing, where is it? Let me look. And when I looked, in fact, there it was. What a miracle. He's so good. You know, one year I got kind of a combination of, you know, I wasn't really settled with it. You know, I kind of chose one and felt like God, you know, chose one for me. They were both out of Psalm 119 that I was studying at the time and verses 32 and 34. 32 is, you know, I run in the path of your commands for your love set my heart free. And the one I chose was 34, give me understanding and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. And I still struggle with that freedom that God gives us. If the Son has set you free, we are free indeed. And yet we are under that obedience, you know, we are under that rule and reign and our response is obedience and yet our hearts are free. And I am a rebellious person. And God is still working on that one with me. But there's an example of where I just kind of chose and went with it, and God did work that year through those scriptures and is still working in that area. One year, God gave me Psalm 93, which, you know, take time to look at it. Sometime it's all about the attributes of God. You know, God reigns, he's robed in majesty. It was about the you know, how firmly established he is and how, you know, even though the seas have lifted up, they're nothing compared to the mightiness of God. And, you know, his holiness is firm. And it was just this, as I meditated on each one of those attributes of God and each one of those words, it just opened up this new idea of this God that I trusted, that does not condemn me, that loves me, and this majesty, this immense awe-inspiring being that we love. And that, you know, it's always, how can I not trust and be grateful to such a God? Isaiah 43:3 is one that has kind of been another theme through my life, which is, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the flames, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So trouble is in the world. We are in a battlefield. You're going to have some tough times, but you know what? I'm God, and I'm going to be with you through all those things. So rich in assurances, that scripture more than any right now speaks to my future, to my now and my future, where the John 3:17 speaks to my past. And so that's kind of the bookends of annual scriptures that God has used in my life. And you know, the using those for edification, for instruction, for, you know, revealing himself more clearly to me, for reassurance, for promises, all those things, you know, over the years that I looked for and sought and received an annual scripture, all of those things were gifts that God gave me. As you go about reading and searching scripture for one for yourself, you might think of another person as you're reading a scripture. And I want to just kind of float the idea that perhaps God is giving you that scripture to pray over that person for a period of time, maybe for the whole year. You might know a little bit about their life and what they're going through, but you don't know it all. And maybe there's something about that scripture that applied to that person is going to be beneficial to them. And it's a way to target your to pray scripture over other people, which is very, very powerful. It may be that God is asking you to share that scripture, but maybe not. You know, God's really capable of speaking to each one of us directly and doesn't really need you to speak for him. And so, you know, certainly if God is telling you, you know, share the scripture with somebody, but be careful about being God's mouthpiece. You know, he's got a mouth of his own that he can use. But those scriptures that come to mind when or the person that comes to mind when you are looking at scripture, just think about whether that might be something that you can pray over that person for the coming year. One of the things that you all know, you know, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And that's a sword that we wield, but we don't wield it to hack one another to pieces. And the only reason I kind of bring that up is because of my experience. I guess it's more of a caution to myself, and also to relate an experience that I had when I was widowed. I had two lovely women who came alongside me, and their part of their gifting was letter writing. And one of them sent me long letters full of scripture and underlined and exclamation points and capital letters And the first couple letters, I thought, oh my gosh, I am doing this whole thing wrong. I'm not being the right kind of widow. You know, I'm not being a good Christian widow. And then I thought, wait a minute, no condemnation? Hello? So it was a misapplication of scripture into my life. The other woman sent me little notes with scriptural truth. I know God's going to give you courage this week. Wisdom comes from the Lord. You know, those kinds of scriptural foundational things that were such a balm and such a help in a difficult time. So as you do your search for a scripture for yourself, if you have a scripture for that some, you know, somebody else comes to mind, pray that over them. It's a wonderful practice. You can ask for a scripture for your spouse. How about for you as a married couple? How about for each of your kids or your parent or your sister or your brother or your pastors? Those are, God will use those to great effect in their lives. There's a couple of scriptures that I have used consistently in praying, particularly over our kids. And so I'll insert the name of one of my kids. This is 2 Peter 1:3-4. God's divine power has given Craig everything he needs for life and godliness through his knowledge of him who called Craig by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he, Jesus, has given Craig his very great and precious promises, so that through them, Craig may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Or how about this one? I'll end with this one. May the God of hope fill you, all of us at New Life Fellowship, with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13. So, Happy New Year. Search the scriptures. Find one. Pick one if one doesn't drop into your lap. And look for, I think it'll be fun if we compare notes not only next Sunday, but a year from now. And see what God has done through the scriptures that he's given us. So, thank you.